No, we're just waiting. Waiting for everybody to get out, everybody to get in. Do what? You were supposed to bring umbrellas, yes. No, it's okay. It's okay. Got to get that umbrella. She's really going to get her umbrella. I was joking. It's... Quick, let's all go in the other room. Shut the door. Okay. Well, when Manny gets back in, we'll start. But since she did go out to get an umbrella, we certainly need to give her that opportunity. Tonight, what I wanted to do was really just spend some time talking about VBS. How many of you ever went through a VBS as a youngster? Good, good, good. How many have taught or been involved in VBS since you're not a youngster anymore? That's good, too. All right. So you all have experience. Anybody got a great story you want to tell from VBS? Yeah, that's usually good. We survived. Nobody got hurt. There's all different ways to define success with VBS, too. We'll get into that. One of my favorites, though, is this little boy in Illinois. He goes to VBS for a week, and he goes home, and he tells his dad. He said, you know what we learned? His dad was in the military. He said, you know what we learned? He says, no, what'd you learn? He said, Mandy needs to hear this one. So the little boy goes home. Remember, his dad's in the military, and his dad says, well, what'd you learn this week? And he said, oh, man, we learned about when the Egyptians chased the Israelites out of Egypt with tanks. His dad said, with tanks? He said, oh, yeah, it was really cool. They were chasing them with tanks, and the Israelites came to the Red Sea, and they built this giant bridge, and they crossed the sea. And the dad's like, this is what they taught. Oh, yeah. And well, what happened then? He says, well, when the Egyptians tried to cross the bridge, they blew it up with an atomic bomb. And the dad says, that's the way they told it to you? And the kid said, well, no, but if I told you the truth, you wouldn't believe me. Okay? But isn't that a good story? But the thing we need to learn from that story is you never know what kids are going to get out of it. And you never know what they're going to go back and tell. And you know what that kid did? He went back and he told the story in his own way. And then when his own way got his dad's attention, he told the story the right way. So we just need to remember that. We never know what's going to happen with these kids. We got 5 days, right? 5 days. How are we going to define success? That's right. We might never know. We may know some of it, but is it a number? No, it's not a number. Is it so many people showing up? Is it so many people accepting Christ here? No. We may have nobody accept Christ here, but we are ultimately successful. The success of VBS is this church doing what God tells it to do. And if we do what God tells us to do, which is share the gospel with these kids, show them that they're loved, show them that they can discover God. Look, that's the whole theme of this. Destination dig. You've got the rocks. You go down into this cave area that they've got here. It looks like you're digging. It looks like you're in the middle of the desert. We've got all of this. We're going to have torches. It's going to be really cool. But what we've got to get across to these kids is that God is there to be discovered, and that He can be discovered and wants to be discovered through nature, through digging, through the Bible, really. I mean, that's really what we need to do. And we need to teach them that it's not something that they can't understand. You know, children, when Jesus taught, He said, you need faith like who? A little child. What's a child's faith? It's simple, it's innocent, but it's complete, isn't it? When we get older, we complicate things. I've been accused of doing that a lot, okay? But we need simple faith. What is simple faith? Here's the way adults say it. God said it, I believe it, therefore it's true. What's wrong with that statement? Yeah. The fact that I believe it is completely irrelevant. Simple faith is God said it, therefore it's true. You know, it's like gravity. You can say I don't believe in the law of gravity all you want, but you step off that building roof, you're going to be introduced to the law of gravity, and you're going to be subject to the law of gravity. And that we just need to take the Bible and present it this way to the kids. This is the Word of God. This is absolute truth. Right? So what's the message? And look, you guys talk. You guys have all been through VBS in some way. But what is the simple message that we have to convey this week? What's the seed that we want to plant that may grow? It may sprout on Friday. It may sprout 20 years from now. But what's the simple seed that we plant? Salvation. What's the basic message of salvation? A kid comes up and asks you, I hear this word salvation. What does it mean? What are we going to tell them? Okay. It is the gospel message. The simplistic gospel message, 4 points. Remember, Christ died for our sins and was buried. He arose again and was seen. That's what Paul says. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, for I delivered to you first of all, and that means primary, not the first thing I said, but the most important of all, that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He arose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas, then by the 12, then by over 500. That's the message. And when you read the rest of Corinthians, you see that that simple message changed murderers, it changed homosexuals, it changed adulterers, it changed every kind of sin that you can list, because Paul did. He had a nice three-verse listing of all those sins. And he said, and such were some of you before you heard the gospel message. So it's really, really simple. They don't have to understand, you know, what we're studying in Revelation right now. They don't need to understand, is it pre-tribulation rapture, mid-tribulation rapture? What do they need to understand? Jesus loves them. Jesus died for them because they are sinners. They missed the mark. That's a hard concept to get across to kids, okay? And that He offers them the chance to live forever. Now, how are we going to explain sin to kids? How many are going to be here, first of all, at some point during... Okay, good. So some kid comes up to you and say, hey, my teacher told me about sin. What are we going to say? How do you explain sin to a child where they can understand? Yeah, you can use rebellion. Some of them will understand that. Yeah, they will understand that. You, if you want to, use a... They understand shooting at a target, okay? And that missing the mark idea is really easy for kids to understand. Tell them you're shooting an arrow at a target. The middle is doing right, but you miss. You miss to the up, you miss wherever. We want to do right. And God says when we miss His mark, when we miss that center target by doing something that's not right, that's called sin. Okay? That works. You can use the example of disobeying your parents. That one usually hits a little close to home, and they like not to listen to that one, but it does work. You can say it's kind of like disobeying your parents, except you're disobeying your heavenly Father. If God tells you to do something, then you need to do it. If He tells you not to do something, you need not to do it. Yep.
Adam and Eve, like, we are sinful when we're born.
Yep. That's
and
for...
I'm still a sinner. Even though I'm a believer and I have eternal life, even I am still a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
But
God forgives you and continues to forgive you. That gets a little bit older. But yeah, that's a good point. Now, we need to remember, and don't make it too complicated for them, depending on the age, but if you get into that concept, if you're talking to an older child and they say, well, you're a sinner. I've seen you do blah, blah, blah. I am. And we don't need to deny that we're sinners. You know, we need to be very thankful that we are sinner saved by grace. Remember we talked about Wednesday night? We can be a sinner, which focuses on us, or we can be a sinner saved by grace. That focuses on Jesus. What does it mean to be a sinner saved by grace? It means that I still sin, but I can talk to God and say, please forgive me, because we're going to talk about confession with them. Please forgive me, and He will forgive me if I'm a child of His. That's a good point. It doesn't mean we have to be perfect. And a lot of these kids are going to come, I hope we have some, that come from situations where their home life is influencing how they view God. All right? You actually get your view of God from your view of your father. So some of those people who, my father died when I was 9 months old. So I really didn't have a good view of what a man in the household was. Some people's fathers are people that you don't want to emulate, but they need to understand that God is perfect, but we are not. And when we don't want to ever compare sins. We don't want to ever just say, God looks on sin and says all sin is bad, but He's able to forgive all sin. Right? The other thing, anybody got anything else on sin? Okay, and look, that bulletin in the back again, it has the ABCs on it. If some child asks you about how do I accept Christ, you can send them to Bob or Kenny or me, if Kenny's around, may not be, but you can tell them too. You can tell them, say, well, it's as easy as ABC. Look at the back of the bulletin if you've got it. If not, get one on the way out. It says, admit, that's the A, to God that you're a sinner. Repent, which means turn away from that sin. Means you're not going to do that anymore. You're going to try not to do that anymore. B is believe that Jesus is God's Son. And then C is confess your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Now, the lordship thing is difficult for kids. It's difficult for adults. We want to teach them that Jesus is both our Savior and our Lord. Savior we can explain pretty easy, right? He saved us from our sin. He's given us eternal life. He's bringing these gifts that He's going to give to us. What does it mean for Jesus to be Lord? Yeah, kids have a tough time with that. How are you going to explain this to a kid? He's kind of our boss. He does rule over us with authority, and we're supposed to. What about this question? Well, are we supposed to do what He says? Yeah, the answer is yes. Why? Yes, and that's the key we got to get across. Not just because He says it, not just because He's the boss, not just because He's the authority, but because of what He has done for us, we want to be obedient. So when we teach these kids that Jesus is our Savior and our Lord, it means we recognize Him as being the one who is in charge of our lives. And look, the kids will bristle. The older kids will bristle. The younger kids won't. But the older kids will bristle a little bit. And we need to explain that to them. If they bristle, look, let's deal with it. Because the worst thing you can do is leave a kid with a belief that he's saved if he doesn't know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's a false impression. So we want to introduce that concept too. Doesn't need to be a big deal, but remember, Romans 10:9 says that we have to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So that's part of the lesson that we do need to convey to them. And all of this is going to be easy. I think, it's going to be pretty easy to do. The crafts out there are going to be themed towards God and Jesus and exploring, discovering what he did, all the classes that we're going to have, all the materials. Some of them are stretched this year, but a lot of the materials, they're good and they're aimed at getting people to think about where can I discover Jesus. If you look at the themes of the night, you know, tomorrow night is going to be Christmas, and it's really about prophecy. So what is it about prophecy? And you guys know this. When God says it, it's going to come true. Kids understand promises. Kids understand keeping a promise to them. And that's a good way to phrase it, that God promised us certain things, and he promised us one thing, that he was going to send a Messiah to us. And he did. And I think by the time they get to the closing session, depending on what class they're in, they're going to hear just how awesome it was that Jesus came when he did. Right? And they're probably going to hear about how unlikely that would have been. And then Tuesday, we're going to talk about healing the blind. And that's basically, how do we see? We need to see things from God's perspective. So what we're going to talk to the kids about is, how does God see them? All right? That's what we want to get across. We need to tell them that, look, God sees you as worthy of his love. Again, we may have a child here who doesn't feel loved. I don't know. But if we do, they need to leave here knowing God loves them. And they're going to get that impression not only from what we say, not only from what we say, but how we treat them. You know, we're going to interact with them. We're going to be there. We're going to call them by name if we can. I think they're going to have name tags. That may help. But, you know, we're going to give them attention. So Jesus can do miracles, and we see things through crazy glasses sometimes. We see things through gospel glasses. And when we start seeing people as being worthy, we start seeing people as being loved. Remember, you can always go back to creation and say, God made us, and he said it was very good. And the biggest thing is that Jesus, God's Son, thought we were worthy enough for him to come and die for. Okay? That's something that should get to those kids and make them understand. Wednesday, old as a fossil, learning about Jesus experiencing trials and rejections. This will help kids understand, you know, depending on how the teachers teach the lesson, what it is to be rejected, how Jesus was rejected and that he still loves us. And then Thursday, we're on the resurrection. We're on to Easter. So we're going to talk about then the importance of the resurrection, which is the central focus of all the gospel, right? If Jesus didn't resurrect, if he's not alive today, then we're wasting our time, right? So we just need to explain to them the empty tomb. We're probably going to experience somehow the empty tomb. But, you know, the stone was rolled away. Was it rolled away for Jesus to get out? No. Why was it rolled away? For others to see in. That's right. So, you know, if Mary and Peter and John and all them had gotten there and that stone was still in place, they couldn't have gone in. They couldn't have looked in. But they were able to look in and witness the fact that he had risen. So we just need to remember through this week that we've got these themes, but Jesus and his love is the overarching theme. And that's what needs to really come across with them. Our concern needs to be for their eternal salvation, not necessarily that they have a great time this week. It's going to, obviously that would be better, okay, if they have a good time, I'm sure they will. But our concern is to plant that seed. And, you know, I told you that's how we're going to define success. If we testify like God says we're supposed to testify, who's going to take that seed and plant it? Did y'all hear that? Somebody else answer. Who's going to take it? Are we going to do it? No. We throw the seed out. The Holy Spirit takes it and he plants it. Who's responsible for the kid saying, yes, I believe? God, not us. Okay? And you know, we would love to have... Don't get me wrong, we would love to have a bunch of salvations, but the most important thing that we can do is tell these kids the truth. You know, if they're kids that come here, we know they're going to hear it more than once. But if we have children that don't come here, we don't know that they're going to hear it more than 5 days, 4 days, or 5 days in a row. Let's take advantage of that 5 days and plant what we can. Now, for who all's teaching in here, teaching or working? All right. What I would ask you guys to do, look, even if you're going to be, what are you, like a runner? A floater. Even if you're going to be a floater, pray about those kids you're going to come into contact with. Pray about the kids you're going to have craft with. Pray about the kids you're going to have class with. You pray for them before they show up. You pray for them while you're teaching. And you pray for them when they leave. All right? And you keep on praying for them. You know, if you've been coming on Wednesday nights, you know that sometimes prayer doesn't get answered right off the bat. I gave you the example of Daniel, who was praying for 21 days, and God sent an angel to him and said, look, I heard your prayer day one, and I sent the angel. And the angel got held up by the prince of Persia, but it took him 21 days to get there. The point is, Daniel didn't stop praying, did he? Daniel kept on praying. So when we have the opportunity to pray for these kids, let's keep on praying. And another thing, it is, and you know, we do this at prayer time, but it is really, really, what's the right word? Encouraging, not the right word, but that's close. Encouraging for a child to hear an adult pray for them by name. So if you can, if you've got a class list, if you can read off the hello, my name is tags, you know, whatever it is you can do, if you can pray for those children and let them hear you praying for them, that has an impact on somebody when you name them by name. So did you bring your umbrella? All right. She went out and got her umbrella. So I got... Why did I call it bringing umbrellas? And I know you guys have heard a story like this, but when we pray and when we approach VBS, we approach it expectantly. And there's lots of versions of this theme, but here's the one I like because it's got kids in it. It says, a farmer and his family were experiencing a period of extreme drought. In frustration, the farmer gathered his family around the breakfast table and prayed, God, please make it rain soon. We so desperately need it to survive. After he had finished, the farmer got up from the table and went to leave the house. His six-year-old daughter said, Dad, where are you going? He said, I'm going out to inspect the damaged crops. Why? She said, take an umbrella. And he said, don't be silly. It hadn't rained in months. I know, said the little girl, but we just prayed for rain. Don't you believe that God can answer our prayers? The farmer looked at the umbrella next to the open door. He looked out at the cloudless sky. He looked at his daughter. And at that moment, he heard this voice inside him saying, you know, it's great to pray. It's better to believe that your prayers can come true. But what I want for you is to act in anticipation of the miracle that you're praying for. This is what he heard the Holy Spirit say. What I want for you is to act in anticipation of the miracle that you're praying for. So what did he do? He went up, kissed his daughter, took the umbrella, went out to look at the field. Okay? Did it rain? I don't know. But here's the lesson. The lesson is we need to approach prayer and we need to approach this week expecting God to do great things. How do we know that His will is in this? Well, because the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us as a church that we are to go and tell. Is that what we're doing? Yep. The Bible tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should be saved. The Bible says, hey, draw near the little children. That's what we're doing, right? And the Bible says, this is how you're saved. And we're going to tell them. So every part of our plan, every part of the VBS plan is consistent with the Scripture. So we know God's going to be not only in it, but God needs to be in charge of it. If we try to be in charge of it instead of God, it's going to fail by whatever standard we have. But if we step back and we let God use us and act through us and speak what He wants us to speak, it can't fail. No matter how many people or how few people show up, it can't fail. What if we only have 1 8-year-old child who comes? What are we going to do? That 8-year-old kid's going to have a heck of a time, isn't he? He's going to get crafts. He's going to get a lesson. He or she is going to get to see in here. He's going to get to dance in here. It's going to be great. And yeah, okay, that's good too. But look, it doesn't matter how many people we have. God's bringing the people that are ready to hear, and God will work great things. So what I want to do the rest of our time tonight, I want us to pray. I want us to spend some time thinking about VBS, and I want us to pray like we've learned to pray on our Wednesday night. So what do we need to know? We need to know, look, we are completely dependent on Jesus Christ. We will fall flat on our faces if God is not in charge of this, and we need to know that. We need to make sure that we're as right as we can be with God. Particularly if you're teaching, if you're interacting with those kids and there's something in your life, there's unconfessed sin, that needs to be confessed. You need a clean slate so that you can hear God. You can hear God like that farmer heard the Holy Spirit. You can hear Him say, hey, that kid needs a push. That kid needs a hug. That kid needs something else. You need to listen, be able to listen. We need to be faithful. We need to believe that our prayers can be answered. What did Jesus say? If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to the mountain, move, and it would what? It'd move. And you know, the mustard seed, real dinky little seed, if you guys have ever seen one. It's a small seed, but we need to have faith because we know that this VBS and the message that these kids are going to hear is God's Word. We know that. And then we need to pray that these kids will be open, that God's going to go before us, open their hearts, open their minds, make them the sponges that they usually are. You know, they'll soak up anything, even a crazy story about an atomic bomb blowing up the Egyptian bridge. You know, who knows what they will do? But we don't give up. So what I want to do, I want to close tonight. We're going to have an extended period of prayer. What I want to do is take a moment of silence. If there's something in your life that you need to get right with God, I want you to do that. If you're going to be involved in any way with VBS, look, if you're not here, I expect you guys to be praying for those that are, and I know you will be. Pray for the VBS folks between 6 and 8:30, and then after that, before that and after that. The prayer warriors are, and I mean, you guys are an important part of this too. You can tell when people are praying. And remember, you don't have to be praying with your eyes closed, head bowed. If you're working something, you can say, God, hey, it's starting the VBS. Let this thing go well. You be in this. But if there's something that you all have in your life that you need to confess, I want to give you time to do that, and then we'll close in prayer. I know this has been short, but anybody got anything else about VBS? Y'all ready? This is a great opportunity. We need to look at it like that. We need to think that this is our chance to share God's Word with young minds. And you know what? One of the great things about being a Sunday school teacher or being a pastor is we don't know it all. And a lot of times you're studying for something and you're like, oh, wow, I never saw that before. You guys had that when you teach Sunday school? It's like, oh. And then you start to realize, oh, wow. You know, a lot of times it's very self-convicting, but you start to realize, man, this is what God wants. This is what God is saying. And then it's going to be the same way with VBS. It's going to be the same way when we interact with these kids. So let's take a moment, and then after a couple of minutes, I'll start the prayer. At the end of it, I'm going to give you guys time to join in. So if you guys want to join in with anything, add to it, and we'll be done. So let's bow our heads and just think about God and confess anything that needs to be confessed. Father, you've given this church an opportunity this week to share your word, to share your son with the young people that may show up that you bring to VBS. Lord, we pray you do marvelous things this week and that you be glorified in every single thing we do. We know that your word says to welcome the little children, and that's what we're doing. We know your word says that you want everyone to be saved, and that's the message we'll be sharing. Lord, we would love to see these young people come to a saving knowledge of you right here and now, but we put our faith in you that everything that's going to be done will be used by you to accomplish your will in the lives of all those who are involved, both as participants, as teachers, as helpers, in every way. Only you know the great things that can come out of this week, and we are ready to be obedient and available for you to work through us. And to that end, Lord, I want to first thank you for all the people that have stepped up to volunteer to help. I want to thank you for those people who are going to be prayer warriors for us while we're working with the kids. Lord, we couldn't do it without any of them. And I thank you that you've impressed upon their hearts the need to step up and serve and the need to pray. Lord, I pray for the teachers. I know they've got lesson material, and I pray that they would prepare lessons that will reach these kids and that the lessons would show your love for them. The lessons would show that you are out there waiting to be found and that it's your desire that those who diligently seek you will find you. Lord, I want these kids to know that they are prayed for. I want these kids to know that you love them. And we'll share that word with them. And you would show, pray that you would show that through us. Lord, I pray for the workers, the floaters, the people helping, that they may serve you with a humble spirit, that they can show these kids what it is to be a faithful servant of God, and that they do it with the right attitude. Lord, it's not that they're trying to be man pleasers or anything, that they're just doing it out of love for you. And that spirit comes through, Lord. I pray that the kids see that. I pray that these workers can be an example for them. I pray for our musicians, that they would convey your message through the music, that they interact with the kids and show that you can be worshiped in music and in song and in spirit. Lord, I pray for those who are doing the crafts, that they be emboldened in their interaction with the kids, that they use those crafts to show your love for them, for the kids, and that these crafts actually help them understand more who you are and that they understand they can discover who you are by looking at the right places. Lord, I pray most of all for the kids. I pray that you would open their hearts and open their minds and create that desire to learn more about you. This whole destination dig theme is something that ought to appeal to the kids. And I pray that they get interested, they start digging, they start looking at your word, they understand what the Bible is, They understand that the Bible is the guide to their life. And they understand that through the Bible, they can find out about you and find out who you are. Lord, I pray that they understand they need a Savior. And I pray that they understand that Jesus Christ is that one and only Savior. And Lord, as we think about the kids, we need to think about their parents too. Some of them may not attend church. Some of them may not know you themselves. Lord, we know that VBS is a way you use sometimes to get a message through the kids to the parents. But Lord, we pray for the parents of all that attend, that if they don't know you already, that this VBS experience, whether it be the family night or some crazy story the kids take home, resonates with them and they start thinking, maybe I need to look into this Jesus thing. Lord, that's what we want. That's what you want. And I pray that you work in the parents' lives, that they see you in this and they have a desire to understand who you are. Lord, we pray finally that you not only be in this, but you be in charge of this. Without you, we know we can do nothing. Our works would just be filthy rags. We can have this place as spit polished and as pretty and as destination diggish as we can, but if you're not here, nothing's going to be accomplished. Lord, we open our hearts, we open our bodies to you. We ask that you work in every single person who's working and every single person who's praying to show yourself this week, to reveal your glory and to show who you are. Lord, we know you'll do great things. We leave this in your hands and for your glory. Anybody else have anything to add? Lord, we give you all the glory. We give you all the credit in advance. We anticipate you doing great things. We just wait and pray that we get to see some of them. But Lord, that doesn't change our devotion to you. It doesn't change our devotion to doing what you say to do, even if we don't. Lord, may you be glorified in every single thing that happens this next week at VBS. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you, guys. Bring your umbrellas.